Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Wednesday. We are especially happy this Wednesday because we have a special guest. We are so excited. Brett Brown, welcome to Out of the Pods.
What is up, y'all? How y'all doing? Happy to be here.
Good. We're so excited to chat with you. It's been forever since we've seen you. I think it was at the live reunion, I'll put in quotes. It's been a minute. How have you been?
Has been a minute. I mean, yeah, pretty much then to now has been all the post stuff that comes after, you know, being in the public eye and getting adjusted to that. So whole lot of life change, but in a good spot, in a really good spot.
Good. Yay. Well, we're so excited to have you on this podcast because Deep D and I were big fans of you and your wife, Tiffany. You both were on Love is Blind season 4, and it was one of my favorite seasons from the franchise. And I feel like you guys had that, like you kind of brought that franchise back of like, it's actually about love and marriage and like maturity as well. And like, I feel like your season was really, I think there was a balance of like drama, but also that like, you know, you've got two people who are ready to find love and found love. And so that was really beautiful to watch. So we'll definitely go into that. So we heard Tiffany is a pod bestie. So she listens to this podcast. So can you confirm, are you also a pod bestie?
There's a right answer. You know,
I like dip in and out. Like sometimes, yeah. Like when I'm driving home, I'll like, oh, let me see. There's a new episode. Oh, okay, I'll listen to it. But like, I'm like in and out just because I'm so busy nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally feel that. We barely listen to our own podcast. No. That was a baited question for you. But yeah, for all of our guests who come on this pod, we like to ask them, like, how did you get on Love is Blind? Why did you want to do reality TV? Like, I just am curious to know what, like, motivated you to sign up for a show like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because I hear different reactions from, like, the public when some people say, oh, they found me on Instagram. And people are like, oh, my gosh, Love is Blind. They're finding people on Instagram. That's so terrible. I'm like, is it? It's just Instagram. It's just a way to connect with people. So Instagram was how I was contacted. One of the casting people sent me, it was like a, you know, nice paragraph kind of talking about the show. And at that point in time, I had heard about it, but I hadn't watched it. And I thought it was fake. I thought it was spam. And then I responded. And then I think me and the casting person probably had like a 2-hour conversation where we just went through everything. And then I was like, oh, okay. One, this is real. Two, I don't expect this to go anywhere, but let me watch. At that point in time, only season 1 was aired. So I went back and watched season 1 just so I could make sure, because, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of reality TV. So I was like, if this is something where I'm walking into where it's a bunch of drama that I'm going to be recorded 24/7, I want no parts of that. My life is good without this. But it just kind of, you know, snowballed from there.
No, I was going to say it's so interesting because had you seen like season 2, you'd probably be like, I don't know. Let me just let me think about that again, because season 1 was so pure. And it's like, oh, you add in season 2, 3, 4. You're like, it's a little messy.
Yeah.
What I heard was most men on the show are recruited through Instagram or LinkedIn or like other social media channels versus women who typically sign up. And like, I heard from a producer, the reason why is like, I think women are more readily like invested in the process. And most of the viewers of Love is Blind are women versus men. And so I think women who watch the show to do it for, you know, more genuine reasons are like, wow, this really worked. Like, let me try it. Versus men, again, probably didn't watch the show just based on like demographics. And so like, I feel like it's a little bit harder to like cast men who are willing to like sign up and believe in the process.
Yeah. They have to do a little fishing for the men. Cause I think, yeah, you're right. A lot of the men were recruited.
But tell us a little bit about your dating history before going on like Love is Blind. Like, were you in other relationships or, you know, like, what did that really look like?
Ooh, how much time we got?
Tons of time. Yeah, exactly.
So I moved to Portland in 2018. Pretty much been single since then, and you know, been dating, but nothing serious enough to where I would say like, hey, I'm locked up. I got a girl, and we're, you know, trying to move towards something. So by the time like the opportunity to do Love Is Blind came up, like I was like, wow, like I've been here 3 years. Like I'm a good looking guy. I got my life together. I got a thriving career. I'm like, I'm 3 years in. I work for a great, great company. I'm like, why am I still out here trying to find a girl? In my mind, I'm like, man, I should be like, who's that guy? Like, you know, lasso I'm in, but you know, it didn't work out like that. So I feel like it was more of, it was difficult. It was difficult. Mm-hmm. Dating in today's society with, you know, and I don't want to put down apps because I was on apps and I met, you know, some great people off of apps, you know, that maybe did, we started off as dating and didn't turn into that. But I think apps get a little bit of a bad rap for ways to connect. And I just look at it as, it's just a different way to say hi to people, whether you're saying hi mm-hmm. to somebody in a club or a grocery store or an app, like it doesn't matter. But I think because of apps, keeping somebody's attention is difficult. People wanting to invest time. And I think that was the biggest thing that I struggled with was like, and you could probably even see it from the show. Like I'm not, my personality isn't like overwhelming. My personality isn't like braggadocious and I'm just leading with everything that I've done. So I think when it came to trying to get to know people, it's like there's guys who talk that game a lot harder up front. And I think some women buy into that. And that's never been my thing. So I think a lot of women are probably like, yeah, he's cool, but I don't know. This guy's telling me all the things that I want to hear. I feel probably more valued by that guy. But turns out that guy is some trash. And mm-hmm. they don't know that yet. But right. they will find out, you know, months later. And then they'll be like, where are all the good guys at? Yeah. Oh, the good guys are out here.
Yeah.
You're just not investing the time to get to know him.
And now you missed out because he ended up on Love Is Blind and is now married.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a huge proponent of dating apps. I haven't been back since Love Is Blind because it's just like you're right. Like the next best thing is just at your fingertips. And I feel like people just lose interest so quickly because they can just be on to the next one so fast. And that's why I did Love Is Blind because I was like, what a unique way to find love. Didn't work out for me, but it is such a unique way, you know. But
interesting. Well, I had a quick follow-up question for you because Deep D and I spoke about this in a previous episode. Do you ever think like your exes watched the show or like people you dated and they're like, what the heck? Like I dated that guy. And do you ever wonder like what they were thinking?
So I don't really get anxiety. But knowing the show was about to air and also like I live in Portland and if you've never been to Portland, Portland is a small city.
Yeah.
Like that was also another difficult part of dating here. Everybody knows everywhere. There would be times where I'd meet a girl. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. And I would start to get anxiety just to check out her Instagram because the number of common friends that we have is through the roof. And I'm like, oh man. How does she know my boy John? Did they used to date? I'm like, I don't even want to ask because I don't want to hear something that I don't want to hear. So that was also another layer that was just really difficult. But with that, coming off the show, I'm like, well, this is a small city. If there's a girl I dated, oh, she's gonna know real quick. That I was on the show. And like, there was a part of me that was like, man, I wonder how this is going to go. Cause it could either go, hey, try to throw dirt on my name and say all kind of things to friends and say, oh, I can't wait to watch him fail. This is what he did when we talked and blah, blah, blah. Or it was you sat quietly with a stink face, like, damn, I missed out on a good one.
Yeah. Get spectrums on both ends. That's so funny that you said that about Portland being a small city because that's what happens with my friends in Chicago too because they're like obviously single. I'm like, I look and there's mutual friends. I'm like, nope. You send it in the group chat like, have you do you know this man? It mm-hmm. starts a whole conversation. Yeah,
yeah. Like Chicago's big, but it's really known as that like small big city mm-hmm. because if you are a certain age, if you are in a certain age group, have like a certain job, like you most likely all hang out together. Yes. Like that's, I feel like kind of how Chicago is like. And so even when we did our season of Love is Blind, like if you like talked long enough and figured out connections, you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, someone in my life.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting because we had the same thoughts too. Like I did when I knew the show was about to come out, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I wonder if like my exes would be like, ew, I dated her and she like sucks, or, mm-hmm. oh, like, you know, look at her now, even though I didn't get married, but you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, taking a little step back, can you tell us a little bit about your childhood, how you grew up, like the adversities you faced and how you kind of got into your career path? Like give us a little insight into your life.
Yeah. So that was something that I was surprised that aired, was like me kind of really briefly kind of just, you know, hitting the bullet points of kind of like my upbringing, but in hindsight, I'm glad it did. I'm glad that they chose to air it because it's really kind of opened up a lot of like good dialogue that I've had with just people. People reach out to me all the time, and it has nothing to do with Love is Blind. They're just like, hey, I was told about this guy on Love is Blind who grew up in poverty, and now he has this great career at a great company, and my son or daughter, you know, is doing this, like, do you have any advice? Or so the type of things that it's opened up have been great. So I'm glad that they aired that stuff. But yeah, I'm from North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, which is where Michael Jordan is from. That's like the only claim to fame.
Only
claim to fame of Wilmington, North Carolina, small beach town. Well, like it's right on the coast, Southeast coast, North Carolina. And, yeah, from there, life was pretty normal up until going into about seventh grade. My dad made some career decisions that didn't quite pan out the way that I think that he intended for them. So literally over the course of a summer, we pretty much went from living normal, like we had our needs met, to it felt like everything happened so fast. Like over a week, we went from like, hey, they're going to come by and cut off our lights because we can't afford the power bill, to then the next week, hey, they just cut off our water, to the next week, like, okay, we actually can't live here anymore, so we got to pack up and go to my grandma's house that was about 30 minutes away. That was, at the time, I was like 11 or 12. I thought it was going to be a temporary move because that's how my dad said, like, hey, we're just going to move up here until we get it figured out. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to come back down. And it turned into a permanent move. A week later, about a month later, we had to go back, get all of our stuff, bring it up to this old house, which is the house that my mom grew up in. And then starting school up there, it's a small town in North Carolina called Regalwood. Tobacco fields, cornfield, like no hangout spots. There's nothing to do. Our house is at the end of a dirt road type of thing. Mm-hmm. So from there through high school, we went from living pretty good to like struggling with like basic necessities. I didn't really have the high school experience that I think I hear a lot of people talk about, where like, man, I was having fun. I was doing this and, you know, hanging out with friends and we're getting in trouble. And no, I didn't have any friends in high school. I didn't socialize in high school. I was an art kid. I really liked to draw when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then when all that happened, I just dove really deep into drawing, and really that kind of built up my skill set up to a level. And that's really kind of set up the path for me to be where I am now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I feel like when you go through things like that, it makes you appreciate the smaller things in life and just makes you grateful for things, because that's exactly how it was with my family growing up too. And then when I go back to India, I'm just so humbled by everything that I have. And I think it's like such a big part. It becomes like a big part of who you become. So that's very cool.
And that's amazing to hear that your story also really resonated and touched other people who could relate with it. So, and so I know what you said on the show is like, really those sketches is how you essentially landed your first job?
In high school, I did high level, portraits. People asked me, mm-hmm. we want to see some stuff, because I talk every now and then about some stuff. But I was just got really good at just drawing photoreal, drawings of people. And then when I was in high school, a guy came by and did a presentation to my art class about a school that they had opened up in Raleigh about, hey, we teach 3D animation. You can get a job in video games or things like that. Ooh. And that was my only, honestly, my only real kind of exposure to higher education. Higher education really wasn't a conversation in my house because nobody really went to high school. So there was no pressure for, mm-hmm. hey, Brett, you got to go to, get your SATs done. You got to apply to this school. That wasn't a conversation. If I never did anything after high school, and this is, no fault to my parents, it's just, our environment, it wouldn't have been a bad thing. As long as I stayed out of trouble, nobody would have been disappointed. But anyway, so then I did that, went to school there for 2 years. It wasn't a degree program. It was a diploma program. So I got a little certification in computer animation. And then I was able to turn that into getting my first job at EA Games. Was there for about 6 years, then went down to Miami at a startup name because I got laid off there. And then down there is when I found out about footwear stuff. And I started designing my own shoes. I made an Instagram page. So side note, Instagram has changed my life.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
literally, I made an Instagram page and just started posting my shoes. I didn't have any pictures of me. It was just my 3D renderings of shoes. Then I got a DM from the head of 3D at Cole Haan up in New Hampshire. That led to a job. I left Miami to go to New York. And then, New Hampshire. And then from there, I was there for literally a year before a recruiter from Nike hit me up on LinkedIn. And then 6 months later, I'm at Nike. So I had 100 followers, FYI.
Yeah.
That page is still up. It's not above 200 followers still.
I love that.
200 followers.
You didn't promote it. You didn't promote it when the show came out.
I think I share something in my story, but I don't post on it now. It's really just an archive.
Yeah.
But 200 followers. And wow. It just seemed the eye of one person and set everything in motion.
I love that. Wow. Okay, Instagram.
What a story.
Shout out to social media. People talk about all the negative things, but there are a lot of really positive things that happen with social media. And I can speak for that from personal experience.
Yeah, I think all three of us sitting here can say that we've definitely benefited or seen something positive come from it. So for sure. We wanted to take a pause here to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've talked about how I'm not always the best with setting boundaries and saying no. And now that the weather is getting warmer, there's more events going on, social gatherings, I just feel this pressure to attend all of them. And sometimes I end up feeling so drained and stretched thin, but I do struggle to say no, especially to my friends and family.
I totally get how you feel because I used to feel this way too, but therapy has helped me learn how to set boundaries and it has given me the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain me. Therapy has empowered me to be the best version of myself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online too, so it's convenient, flexible, and can be suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/outofthepods today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/outofthepods.
Well, taking it back to the pods, let's start your Love is Blind process. Did you have any other connections besides Tiffany?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've actually never spoke about this. I've actually done very little media. This is one of the first podcasts.
That's so surprising. We're getting the tea. I love this.
Yeah. This is a whole year later, and this is one of the first podcasts that I've done. But anyway, I had other matches other than Tiffany. I don't know if I should name names because I don't want to put you out there and have people looking who is this person? But before Tiffany, there was one other connection that I had that was strong. And essentially because there's they didn't give all the context, But there's a scene where it's showing me in the pods, or not in the pods, in the lounge, and I'm a little like emotional. And Marshall comes up to me. He says like, "Hey, bro, like go against your girl," and all that kind of stuff. And like, but the context for what that was wasn't really shown. And the backstory is I was down to Tiffany and one other connection, and then I don't know why, but that morning, and I spoke about this on the show, like losing my brother. And mm-hmm. that morning I woke up and I was really thinking about that because he was getting ready to get married. I saw him a week before, got fitted for the tux, and a week later, you know, tragically he was gone. So he never got to his wedding day. So then that morning I woke up and I don't know why I'm like, man, like my brother was in the marriage stage and he never mm-hmm. got there. Here I am doing something to get married. And it became very real. Like it mm-hmm. kind of went from being like, oh, I'm on a TV show to, hey, I may be doing something that my brother didn't get a chance to do. Yeah. And when I got into the lounge that morning, I was just very emotional and it was really heavy on my head because I was like, okay, I need to make a choice here. Like, is there somebody here for me? If I'm talking to two people, well, who do I need to really invest in? Mm-hmm. And then kind of going through that mental exercise, it came down to Tiffany. So I actually like mic'd my producer, you know, we have the producer. I'm like, hey, yeah. can I talk to
right.
the producer? And this is actually before we even started filming in the pods. We had just got there the morning of, and I was like, hey, I don't know who my dates are today or what the order is, but I need to talk to Tiffany first.
Wow.
And I don't think Tiffany was my first date. My other date was, but mm-hmm. they shuffled it just because I knew that I couldn't go in a room and talk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, when I knew that I've kind of already made my decision and I wasn't going to stand somebody up and, you know, thankfully they,
yeah.
obliged and they swapped the order and talked to Tiffany first. And then I told the other person, hey, it was funny. Cause, and then when I told the other person that I was going with Tiffany, she was like, well, before I even mentioned Tiffany's name, she was like, oh, it's Tiffany, isn't it? I was like, yeah. And she was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'm really happy for you. Aww. Like that's a great thing. They had a great respect for each other. She was like, I actually respect you more for picking someone like her than if it was something that they would have looked at and said like,
wow.
it's not your caliber. So that also said a lot about Tiffany. Like it was a very adult thing. Actually, you know, they didn't show any of that on the show.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish they did because it really would have showed a little bit more like community and sisterhood and like some yeah. of the women being there for each other. And it's not all about like, oh, you talking to my man and I got him, you know? Mm-hmm. Not everything is like that.
Yeah. They want it to be a drama filled experience instead of a wholesome one. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's so typical sometimes. And it sucks where it's like those moments aren't shown, but we like remember them and like mm-hmm. lived through them. I know Deepti and I talk about that a lot on this podcast of like moments we wish were shown that kind of provide more context or show like, you know, why certain connections were, you know, were made or, you know, stronger than they were shown on the show. You know, it kind of explains more. But that was our next question. Like, is there anything that happened, whether it's with you, Tiffany, both of you, or with other people from the cast that you wish also was seen on the show or made it to the actual episodes?
Yes. And there's one specific thing that I briefly mentioned during the reunion. So there's, it's like episode 8 or something like that. The beginning of the episode, it shows me surprising Tiffany with pictures, like her portrait.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. yeah.
But they didn't show like where it came from, who shot the portrait, and like kind of why Tiffany's reaction was so emotional. So mm-hmm. for context, there's, a scene the episode prior, I come in and like Tiffany's like woo-sighing with her candles. And then she sits on the couch and I come in and she's really overwhelmed by like everything. And I was speaking to her and like really comforted her. And she was just like teary eyed and just going through it. And then toward the end of the evening before like the filming wrapped, I was like, well, hey, babe, like, oh, because I'd actually drove back from Portland that day. That morning, yeah. I drove 3 hours down to Portland because I had work visa I had to do. Left immediately from Portland at 3, walked right in the door, you know, at 6 to get mic'd up and right up there to talk to Tiffany. So like my day, there was no like, can I get 5 to reset? Like, nope, we gotta film. So it is what it is. But anyway, so then toward the end of the night, like I'd bought all my photography stuff because I'd wanted to take a portrait of Tiffany either way. And I was like, hey, well, like, why don't we just still do some pictures? Like, just to kind of make this a little bit more of a, we don't have to end this on a down note. Like, let's actually do something that we both enjoy. And you don't think you look that great right now, but I'm going to show you like how beautiful you look to me. So She went up in 30 minutes, put on her clothes, did her hair, did her makeup. And then I set up my stuff in the little living room. And within 30 minutes from, hey, do you want to do this? To the end of it, we went from saying yes to her getting ready, me setting up, me shooting the pictures. Wow. So then whenever she saw the pictures, that's why she was so emotional, because before that she was crying, she was sad, her hair wasn't done. So like I was like, man, like you show the ending, but you didn't show the movie. Like nobody knows, like, you know.
Yeah. So, interesting. Yeah. I always say there's two different versions of the show. It's what we experienced while filming it and then what was shown like literally a year later. And you're like, Where's the disconnect where there's so many missing pieces to the puzzle? But go ahead.
I was going to say, and then, you know, I, you know, try to be aware that, hey, it's a production. There's limited screen time. There's other stories you have to tell. So it's not like I'm all in production now and mad about it. But Watching it back, it was one of the things that I was really looking forward to watching back, just because I know like how it felt in the moment. And then I just saw the ending and I'm like, hold up, wait, that's it? Like that whole beautiful moment, like that's it?
Oh man.
That's why the season didn't win an Emmy.
Yeah.
If they showed it, it would have been like a for sure win. Yeah. They'd be like, this is real cinematography. Why can't I say that word? But instead, they're like, we're going to show more of, I don't know,
the drama.
I was like, we're going to show more of the drama instead of like the reason. But I know that's the thing that Didi and I always talk about that like sucks about, you know, just like having our lives filmed for a reality TV show is you're like, oh, there's more context. There's like things missing, or there's like, you know, a whole other like piece of this. And that's what's really tough is just like understanding it's a show. There's like 10 to 12 episodes. It is what it is. But that would have been like amazing to see.
It's kind of for like sure. Even when they didn't really showcase or highlight the fact that you guys were going to move to Portland, it wasn't even Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, you were struggling with that the whole time.
Yeah. People didn't even know, like, after the show. And, like, that's why, so in the reunion, there was a few things that I made, you know, the little bit of time I had to speak. I made it a point to mention a couple of nuggets, which was one, hey, I actually lived in Portland, but they never showed Portland whenever my apartment, like, it doesn't say Portland. So it implied that I lived in Seattle, but everybody knew that Kwame lived in Portland as well. But I'm like, wait, well, why didn't you give that context? Because like Tiffany literally after our wedding the same week, she did the same thing that Kwame did, but it kind of just got, I don't know why, just kind of glossed over that like one of us had to move 3 hours away and kind of deal with all that is for the other person. But it is what it is.
Yeah. And it's a tough thing too, for you to have to drive back to. That takes so much emotional toll while you're filming. That's insane. Mm-hmm. But what would you say was one of the biggest challenges for you while filming?
I mean, one, just getting comfortable. Mm. I've never really been the most like visibly emotional person. Like I usually kind of keep my cards close, but now I'm like, okay, I have to do this if I want to walk away with the result that I want. And two, I got to do it where I look in front of me and there's a camera guy with a big camera and a whole thing looking right at me.
And then you didn't there's get used producers. To
that. I mean, I definitely got used to it, but you there's this times where you kind of like zone out and you're just like, okay, like I'm having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then there's just things that happen that are like, oh yeah, actually psych. Like I actually am on a production right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
Just,
no, we felt that.
Yeah. So just continuing to, and you know, I don't want to make it sound like it was like this bad thing, but it's just mm-hmm. the reality is you're on a show. So even sometimes when you're having really personal moments or conversations, like, maybe your conversation isn't going the direction that they want to get what they need to kind of tell the story. So you could just be mm-hmm. talking or laughing or joking about something. And then, hey guys, like, I know you guys are movie buffs and we love your conversation. However, we really like for you to talk about how you're going to merge your finances. It's like, oh man, like
the mood killer.
You're just having fun. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah. So Tiffany, what's your credit score? You know, yeah. You just have to do these just quick yeah. switches.
That happened to me when me and the ex from the show were filming at a restaurant. We were just like chit-chatting for fun. And the producer in front of the whole restaurant came up to us and started yelling at us. They're like, what do you guys think you're doing? They're like, this is not just a fun dinner. Like, you need to be talking about serious things. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
It was so yeah, awkward.
They'd be like, you need to figure out if you're going to get married. Yeah. Like, be like, you know, like talk about something.
I know.
And we're like, okay.
I was like, I was just trying to have fun.
No. No, we felt that too. Mm-hmm. It's interesting when we hear other cast members say like, oh, I didn't know the cameras were there. And I was like, I was very aware. I was very aware. Like when people say that, I was like, how? Because for me, I think there's things I want to talk about, but then I realized like, oh, like, you know how shows work. Like, they're only going to show a snippet. So, like, will something be taken out of context? And so I was very, I remember having that thought of like, okay, I'm very aware that everything I say is going to be on a show. And I have to be like, I wouldn't say eloquent, but more, maybe like more clear and concise of how I say something. Mm-hmm. Like I can't jumble my words.
That's funny because yep. I was the opposite of you guys. I was like, oh, kind of forgot the cameras were here. Not that I would do anything or say anything out of the ordinary anyways, but I was like, oh, forgot you're here.
Going back to Tiffany, when did you know that you really wanted to marry her? Like you were going to say, I do at the altar. Was it when you got engaged to her or was it sometime after, you know, during hometowns? Like when did that moment happen for you? Mm-hmm.
I would say I don't think it was like any like turning point, like, man, it was at this moment when she looked me in my eyes and said this and I knew instantly she was gonna, like, you know, there wasn't that kind of movie like perfect story kind of thing. But I don't know, like I'd say like even after proposing I felt good and I've told her this actually, like even after proposing, like I still up to that, I still kept my cards a little bit close because, like, you know, the name of the show is Love is Blind, but let's be real for a second. And mm-hmm. appearances and physical attraction does matter.
Yes. Yes.
I always say that Love is Blind it's not about showing whether or not looks don't matter. It's just changing the order. It's almost like love in reverse. Can you fall in love out of order? You know? So up until that point, I'm like, man, I love everything about her, but like, will I be attracted to her? And like, mm-hmm. that's not to say I'm trying to align her with like, I want her to look a certain type of way. But I always think that when it comes to attraction, it's not like attraction isn't a conscious decision. Like you don't make a decision right. to find someone attractive. Your body, your nerves, you know, chemicals, all that stuff. I'm sure somebody could go into the science of it, tell you I'm attracted to this person. Mm-hmm. So I was concerned like, man, like, will I be attracted to her? And thank God, like the moment I saw her, I was like, okay, woo. Yes. and then just, you know, the more that we just spoke and I think really just got to spend time together in Mexico and actually started to have, you know, conversations off camera. So we didn't have that pressure to kind of say yeah. these perfect things. It just really got to see like, okay, nah, she's a great person.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's so hard. Cause you're right. It's attractiveness is so objective. And that's why I always say love is blind. It's not blind. It's lucky. Like you're lucky to have found the connection in the pods. And then also it resonate out of the pods into a physical connection. I'm like, people got really lucky, you know? This is one of the best grocery stores I love to shop at right from the comfort of my own couch. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that I'm pretty mindful of what I put in my body, and shopping at Thrive Market makes it so much easier because they carry brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. So they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, so I don't have to worry about what's in my products and food.
So I'm also a Thrive Market member, and with my last three orders of 2024, I saved $158.60 on groceries and products. And girl math is telling me that's $158 I can spend on other things in my life. In my last order, I got these chickpea puffs too, which was cheaper for the same brand I typically would buy from my local grocery store. And like Deep Dee, it feels good that I don't need to worry about what's in my food.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/outofthepods for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/outofthepods, thrivemarket.com/outofthepods.
You know, like regarding your marriage, obviously you guys were on a public platform, so you have all these fans who are rooting for you. Has it been really hard with all the public attention that your relationship gets and how much social media is part of our lives now to kind of stay authentic? Like, how has that like affected your relationship?
Yeah, I feel like, I think the one thing that I'll say for both Tiffany and I think we're naturally just very grounded people, I think. And that was one of the yeah. things that, you know, attracted me to her. So at times, definitely, it can be overwhelming. At times, it can be really surprising. I mean, we were in Japan for 2 weeks. Yeah. We just got back last Friday. That. And we're like stepping off the plane or, oh my gosh, I saw the reunion. Y'all said y'all were going to be here and you're here. I'm like, wow. Like, There was one time we were just in on a street corner in Kyoto, and we're crossing the street. It's like 3 p.m. There's this couple on the other side of the street, and then there's us. We're mm-hmm. crossing. We cross, and I'm like, and I don't know. I'm very aware. So like, I usually, you know, if I see a mirror, I kind of check it. Like, is somebody like calling? I'm like, oh, here we go. They come back and like, oh my gosh, it's Tiffany and Brett. Like, I'm like, what are the chances? Like, they just got married. They were there on their honeymoon. Like, we're in the middle of Kyoto, Japan, on a random street corner.
Isn't that crazy?
How do we pass a couple that knows who we are? So, I don't know. It's definitely, you know, there are some times where it gets a little frustrating. But I think, you know, largely, it's been surprisingly, like, really, really positive.
I love that. Yeah, isn't that crazy? The reach is so like wide.
Wild.
It's
wild.
Crazy. I was like, even when I went to South Africa, it was the same thing. And I was like, how do you guys know me here? It's so cool.
Now season 6 premiered. And there's like a common criticism that's like popping up on social media that, you know, as more seasons come out, the show is becoming less genuine and that a lot of the contestants are going on to become quote unquote famous or, you know, not really, I guess, less famous, but like not doing the show to truly find mm-hmm. love. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's one of the, you know, just unfortunate byproducts of the show. And I don't think even, you know, the producers of Love Is Blind could have anticipated like how big the show would have gotten.
Yeah.
So I think it's just one of the just byproducts of, hey, you happen to have a show that just so happens to become very popular. And then the people that are on the show, people are very interested because it's such a unique concept. And obviously it's been multiple seasons and people can look at the track record of, oh my gosh, look at so-and-so from season one. Oh, you have 2 million and season three, they have this many million. And oh, now they've got a brand deal with this brand. And unfortunately, because of social media and we have direct access to see what people are up to, yeah, I think there unfortunately can be people that just see that side of it and say, well, the least I'll get out of this is some followers, or maybe I'll be able to use this as a jump off point to something, you know, unfortunately. But I don't know. I mean, you can only do as much vetting as you can. You can only ask the right questions, but you can't really know exactly what someone is really up to. And I think, you know, the whole situation with Trevor from last season, I think, is a perfect example of that.
Like, yeah,
no one would have known any of that unless, you know, all that stuff came out. But
yeah, we were going to ask you about the reunion, because obviously you and Tiffany were there. But before we get into that, though, speaking of this, like, in today's climate of the show, like, as it is now, would you still do it? Like, say you were casted for season 7, would you still, do you think you would move forward?
Yeah. Because, I mean, also, it was one of the things that I kind of weighed when, like, I got the green light, which is like 2 weeks ahead of we went down to film. It's like, hey, you made Final Cast. I'm like, oh, wow, this is actually real. But for me, it was like, okay, statistically, what are the chances that I get picked? How many thousands of people have they probably interviewed? How many thousands of people did they probably want on, and then something else comes up and they can't go, or they fail some sort of test, or I don't know, something comes out. Like, what are the chances that they pick me for this? And I'm like, this is not because of fame and Instagram and followers, but like, this is literally a once in a lifetime opportunity that 0.00001 percentage of people, not only in the States, but in the world, will get to do. Oh, absolutely. The worst I have to lose is I go there, I don't find anybody, I go home, and nobody knows that I was on there.
Yeah, that's
true. Or you get a villain edit. I'm just kidding.
Or, yeah, you know.
Not leaving the perspective.
But even with a villain edit, there are people who can still turn that into something, you know. Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's the end all be all. But also, like, if you're going on the show, if it's not obvious, like, there are cameras everywhere, they're going to edit it together. So practice self-awareness.
That's something a lot of people lack.
Clearly.
It really is. But it really is.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's that difficult to understand that things are going to be put in.
I agree with you. Deep D and I, again, this was something that she asked me a few weeks ago, and I like took a pause and I was like, yeah, I'd still do it. Like, even if things don't work out, it's like a really cool experience at the end of the day. Like, of course I'd always say yes to it. I do think that I would be like more prepared, because like now you see so many different storylines. So I think I'd be like, I have to be very self-aware that like anything I could say can be, you know, edited, which is just the truth about reality TV. But also, again, like, I think you have to be a little bit strategic to not, you know, maybe date someone who doesn't have the best intentions, you know, like those are things like, now you can't just go in just being like, let's just see what happens. It has to be more like, this is kind of like a TV show. But that's always been my perspective on it. But going back to the live reunion, so you and Tiff are at the season 6 reunion, and we just had to get your thoughts. Again, having been in the shoes of these contestants, what did you think about Sarah and Jeremy at the reunion? Just what they had to say about their relationship. I think they did more like, I think Sarah Ann defended her actions a little bit. I think Jeremy was a little bit more apologetic. But what did you think about that whole situation?
Yeah. Well, you know, as you know, like, well, our reunion was live. So, or yeah, supposed to be live, but you know, even the actual filming of everything was the time that was posted up on Netflix afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm sure with you all and this one, it's like you film for hours and then it's cut down to what it is. But the first, I feel like half of the time we were there, it was just them in that situation.
Really?
Like it was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Interesting.
They talked for a long time about all of that things. And I think, you know, I think the unfortunate part is, I think for them, and like, hey, if they're happy now, hey, great for them. But I think from an optics perspective, the way that it played out, I don't think that, you know, they'll ever probably be as, I don't know, accepted or people feel as happy for them just because of the optics of how everything played out. Like, even if it played out the way that they say that they did, it still just doesn't look good. Like, no. You're at this girl's house and 3 a.m. And even if nothing happened, it's still not a good look. And then you ride off on the jet skis, and you know, and then the way that they can edit things together, you know, it's just like, oh man, like, so like,
it was tough to watch.
If they're happy and they're making it work, hey, good for them. And again, that's just another thing. Like, you go on a show, even if the point is marriage, maybe you may find another relationship, whether it's a friendship, hey, look at you all, or, you know, something else. But
Yeah. That was a tough thing to watch. I think one of the toughest parts, even though I think Trevor definitely deserved to be called out, I just hated the way they did it. It felt really hard to watch. Was that like the same type of energy that you felt when you were there? It was heartbreaking. I was like, like two wrongs don't make a right.
Because afterwards I was like, man, I hope they don't air that. Just for his, like, you know, I get it. Like, you shouldn't have done it. It's not a good look. But then, like, how much is, I don't know, I'm going to say how much is too much, but, like, publicly roasting somebody. And I understand why the show would do it, because you really don't want to have or get the impression to just let that narrative run that, hey, you can come on here and just kind of act your way through it. Like, you don't want to let that narrative run. So I understand why. But then the downside is, I'm like, man, like, I hope he's okay. Because that, to be kind of drilled into, Nick and Vanessa are, they're not just reading the text, they're almost acting out the text. Like it's a staged drama. Like, you know,
that was tough.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I really do. Actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure he just made a statement, and he's like, I'm gonna come back to Instagram friends. So I think he's doing okay. But yeah, that was a very tough moment of the reunion to get through. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like,
I know,
they usually never bring in like social media into reunions, and I felt like season 6 was so different. They were just calling people out left and right. I was like, ooh.
I know. I was going to say that. I do think that, Brett, you're right. Like, I think they had to address it somehow. Like, it had to be addressed in one way or the other. Maybe they could have done it a little bit differently. But same thing as you, Deep D. The only reason I was really shocked is, yeah, it was kind of like the first time where they took allegations on social media and brought it into the reunion by, you know, sharing screenshots or recordings. Because something similar to what Trevor went through happened on our season. And it was, everyone knew, but it was just never addressed, because we're like, let's just kind of like get through it for everyone's like mental health type of thing. So I was kind of surprised how different this reunion was. Mm-hmm. Made great TV, but we were just thinking there like, oh my gosh, if we were there, I don't know like what I would even do watching that.
Kwame's face was there. Yeah, Kwame's face was hilarious during the reunion. I was just dying at his reactions. I was like, it's good. It's good.
Did it feel weird going back on set for the season 6 reunion?
Yeah, because we had went into like the pods, you know, so there was the pods, and where the reunion was the reveal area. So it was like this place that you never thought you would be again, because it's a set. Like, set doesn't exist. You can't like, oh babe, remember that restaurant where we went, and you can go back to it and reminisce. Like, it was a set. So yeah. To actually have the chance to kind of go back and be like, wow, like this is the same thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Lots of nostalgia.
That's amazing.
What would you say is your favorite season of Love is Blind? And you can't say yours because that'd be biased.
Oh, man. I can't say mine. Well, I will say mine. For ours, season 4.
Okay.
Is in my book. I'd say a toss up. I say like probably 1, just because it's like you said earlier. I think it's the most innocent. It's the most pure. They didn't know that they would get a following. You know, there was nothing that said this is what would happen after the show. But also, like, I found this last season very entertaining. Like, from an entertainment standpoint,
yes.
I think this one was well done.
I agree. I think they did,
even though there was only one married couple. But yeah.
I know, and I feel like Johnny and Amy like didn't get a lot of screen time. Like, they were just kind of like popped in there. We said it during our recaps, and I was all like, I feel like they just weren't meant to be on this season because they're not getting. I felt like the right amount of story time, or they weren't getting, in my opinion, they weren't getting kind of like the full, like, here's our story type of thing. Mm-hmm. But
see, unfortunately,
you know, it is what it is.
Unfortunately, I think the non-problematic couples will always kind of get less screen time because, again, they don't bring that much drama to the table, which I kind of want to be in that boat of people. Because it's like you just kind
of... Well, that was Tiffany and Brett.
No, I'm which is
you guys got like a lot of screen time, I feel like.
But we got a good amount. Yeah, I mean, as much as the other stories, no. Yeah. But hey, is what it
again,
is.
Again, yours was like a Lauren and Cameron type of love, which is, I think, rekindled why Love is Blind was created in the first place. So I thought that was very, very special.
Okay, so we had to ask, out of everyone, like across the franchise, who is your favorite cast member? Not like personally, but just to watch.
Ooh,
give us a villain. Wow. Give us a villain.
Okay, I could tell you mine if it helps you give some ideas.
What is it?
Okay, I have two. Jessica from season 1.
Okay.
I just feel like all of her actions were very like iconic at the time. Like I remember seeing a bunch of memes. And I was like, wow, like she made a splash. And then I don't know why, but like Jimmy and Chelsea, not saying they were my favorite character, if we're calling people characters, but for some reason, I was like very interested in their storyline.
Mm. Okay.
Those are my favorites to watch. I don't know why.
Okay.
So favorites or favorites?
You could do favorites.
It could be favorites.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all said that like in sync.
I know. We spent too much time together.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let me see. That is a hard question, actually.
It is.
Huh.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm like, going through my head of like all the different cast members and couples and, oh, man. maybe I'm biased because like Marshall's my guy, but in spite of, you know, the situation there, like I just really enjoyed how he showed up on camera. I think like, you know, knowing him, you know, outside of the show, you know, Marshall's funny. Marshall's creative. So you saw some of that, like with, you know, the cakes and everything, you know, some of his, you know, faces. And so like, I feel like you were able to just to see a lot, the layers of Marshall. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit biased.
That's okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like you've also created some amazing friendships through the show. And I'm so grateful for our season because I've made like some of my best friends. So yeah, that's totally fine. Well,
was I your favorite character then, DC?
She was not. I actually, I didn't get along with Natalie till way later. She was in her own little bubble. I was in mine, but
I was dealing with some stuff.
One last question for you, Brett. What is next for you? What are your future goals? What can we see from you? I remember last time I talked to you, you wanted to do a TEDx talk. You wanted to write a book.
I still want to do those things.
Love that.
So I tend to write. I have multiple Google Docs of pages of things. Like whenever I kind of think about things, I just tend to write it down. Like so much has just happened in the last year in terms of just travel and everything else. Like I haven't really had the space to really kind of put the energy into that. But I was able to do one of my biggest bucket list things a couple of weeks ago, which I competed in my first boxing match.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Yes.
That was something that I wanted to do for literally years.
That's amazing.
And kind of opportunity to kind of do it. It was in Vegas. It was on Triller TV. Knocked the guy out in about a minute. You know,
so I saw Marshall was live streaming it.
He live streamed it. So like, that was like, all right, great. Like, bucket list item that I wanted to do before I'm too old, like done. So now I'm kind of like, okay, what's the next like bucket list thing? And I would love to kind of put some energy into, okay, like if I wanted to write a book, what would that actually look like? If I wanted to do a TED talk, and TEDx, it's actually pretty, it's like a web, because it's not like it's a direct, oh, you go to the TED website and this, and all the TEDx's are independent. Mm-hmm. So finding one that aligns, it's sometimes not all the information is there, but it's still something I very much want to do.
Yeah, I could totally see you doing that. I think that would be so cool. Yeah, I when I did it, I literally had to do like a video entry type thing as to why I would be like a good speaker. But yeah, I just looked for it right in my own city. So maybe if there's something happening in Portland, you could connect with the team. Very cool. Well, Brett, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I loved getting to know a little bit about your background, what you're up to now. It's been so lovely talking to you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. You know, and again, congratulations on all your success. Good to, you know, talk to LIB alumni, because you all know more than most people what it's like. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And obviously you are welcome anytime. And we're really excited to see what you and Tiffany do next. And obviously we're always following you guys on social media. So we encourage our listeners, our pod pesties to our, why did I say pod pesties? Our pod besties to do that as well. So thanks again, Brett.